and welcome to my first official episode of this podcast. At the time of recording, I still don't have a name for it, so looking forward to what that name could possibly be. Today, we are talking about who am I? It sounds like a very deep question, and we're really just going to touch on one part of that today, something that really has stuck with me for the last few weeks. In quarantine, one of my quarantine goals, I guess, when I realized that I wasn't going to work anytime soon, which was really interesting to reflect on, because when on March 16th, I think that was the day that like New York City shut down, like everybody in the middle of the day just went home from work. And as we were all leaving, we were like, all right, guys, see you in a couple weeks. Like, we're going home for a couple weeks, month tops, and then we'll be back soon. Obviously, that is not the case. We are going on month 5, I think. I think it's been, let's see, March, April, May, June, July. Okay, yeah, so we are like 4.5 months into quarantine. So one of my goals, once I realized that we weren't going back to work anytime soon, was to meditate daily. And this is something that I have tried to do in the past with some luck, depending on like where I was in my life. So like when I first moved to New York, I was trying to meditate every day and I don't know, just couldn't really get into it. And then I think starting, maybe it was like a New Year's resolution of mine, I don't even remember anymore. But I know like in the winter, I was meditating every day and I was meditating on the train, which is like an okay place to meditate because it, I guess, tests your focus. But it's not a great place to meditate when you have to go to work at 5 a.m. So yeah, I was pretty unsuccessful with making that a daily habit. But it is something that I've wanted to incorporate in my life. So quarantine seemed like the perfect time to make that a goal. So I started meditating daily, along with morning movement. That's super important to me. And now I keep a journal, which I don't think I've journaled since high school. I think actually that's a lie. I journaled a little bit in college. I actually still have my journal from college, but it's been a long time since I've actually consistently journaled. So at the beginning of this, I did a lot of fluffy meditation, like 3 to 5 minutes every morning, and probably wasn't really getting much out of it. I thought that that was enough. And I recently uploaded a YouTube video all about my experience with that. And 3 to 5 minutes for me just isn't enough. Like, it takes me 5 minutes just to get settled in the meditation in the first place. So now I try to push more, anywhere between 10 and 15 minutes. I'd love to eventually be at 30 minutes, but I think I need a different lifestyle before I can really like commit to 30 minutes. But one day, that would be nice. You have a lot of time to explore the meditation. And I like 15 minutes because I feel like I can leave, get distracted, and come back and still get a lot out of it, you know? All this to say, so at the beginning of this, I was doing some really fluffy meditation. And then I saw a couple of people that I follow on Instagram that they were reading this book called Don't Just Sit There. And I'm gonna butcher this girl's name. But Don't Just Sit There by Beat Simkin. And this book is amazing. It's amazing for a lot of different reasons, but I'm honestly not a huge reader. And I kind of hate saying that because I just feel like I would love to be a really big reader, but I just can't sit there and read. Like, I feel like because of maybe the world I live in, and I don't know, I just feel like I need something more to stimulate me. So I'm not really good at reading like long chapters of books. So that is one thing that I really like about this, is that the chapters range from like 3 to 4 pages. They're very, very short and they're very actionable. Each chapter is kind of set up that there is some kind of law or something that we do. And she talks about that. And then at the end, she talks about, let me like open one. Yes. So she'll talk about something and then she'll talk about how to live above that law. And it's just, it kind of ranges from each chapter, but she'll just talk about how like she or a client of hers has done something to rise above that law. And then she finishes it off with a verification point, and this is the actionable part. And one of the things that she suggests doing in the very beginning of the book is keeping a journal. So I've been keeping a journal as per, suggestion. Oh my God. So as the suggestion of Beate Simkin, I have started keeping a journal, which is great. I think that pairing meditation and journaling together is really interesting because you can actually see the meditation change the way that you think. And not even that meditation has, again, like made me any more positive or made me any more this or that. I mean, it has done a lot for me, but it's really just given me time to slow down and think a little bit. So one of the chapters that she has in here, I'm going to open up to that page 25. All right. So one of the chapters that she has is called The Law of Identification. And I just want to read a couple of little segments from it. So the big thing is she starts off by telling us all about all of these different jobs that she did, how she, you know, traveled all over the world and worked with all these magazines. And she mentions like Elle and Forbes, all this stuff. And then at the end, she says, okay, why am I telling you this? We often identify ourselves with our careers, how others see us, our personalities, or the results that we get. And this is me. 100%. This is me. And then the other one that really got me. This is where she really like gets to the meat of it. So she says, if we identify with a job and lose it, we may feel lost and aimless. But when we remember who we are and identify only with our souls, we can move through life with ease. We no longer feel pain because we never lose the soul. The soul is who we are. This law works on more immediate short-term levels as well. Sometimes we find ourselves so wrapped up in a project, task, or object that we forget our true selves. If you're on your way to the Hamptons from the Upper West Side and traffic snarls make it a 5-hour road trip, you can respond in one of two ways. If you've identified with arriving by a specific time, you'll panic or get angry. What the fuck is going on? I have somewhere to be. If you're not identified with the result, you can take the event in stride. Find a more productive, perhaps even enjoyable way to navigate the situation. This is me to a T. And I don't think I'm alone in that because in America, I think this is a very Americanized way of thinking. But whenever we like introduce ourselves to anyone, I feel like we always like list our occupation, you know, like I thought about this because even the way that I introduce myself on my YouTube channel is, hi, welcome back. My name is Jane. I'm a personal trainer based in New York City. So we all just identify so much with our occupation. And even when I meet new people in the city, you know, like mutual friends or anything like that, the first question, you know, is what is your name? And then it's what do you do? But in reality, our occupations don't really say that much about us, you know? I mean, I'm so much more as a person than I am, you know, just like a personal trainer. Not to mention that personal trainer doesn't really tell you, like it tells you a little bit about me, but it doesn't tell you much about who I am. But we really connect so much with our occupations. I feel like we put so much pressure on our jobs. And I know that something that I do is like relate my worth to my job. and just relate, like if I'm not successful at a job, all of a sudden I feel lost and I feel like, you know, well, I don't really know what I'm doing, or I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it. So I'm hoping that if you're listening to this, you kind of feel the same way. So we're vibing through the mic, you know? But this also like made me think about when I was in school for acting. So I went to school for acting and musical theater. And something that we talk about a lot in classes is like finding out who you are, figuring out your type, which now I think is like getting a little outdated, but I do agree that as an actor, you really need to figure out who you are, because you know, you need to know what your strengths and weaknesses are so that you can go into an audition and be confident that you know you're going in for the right role. So this was very difficult for me because I don't know, I felt like I look like an ingenue, very young and innocent, and I don't know, I just felt like that was the roles that I should be going for, at least when I first got to school. But my singing voice isn't very ingenue-esque. It's just a little bit brighter, louder, probably not like the prettiest, and not that in like a bad way, because I don't think that to be a good singer you need to have like a quote-unquote pretty voice. I think it's just the difference between, you know, like Frank Sinatra, who has a pretty voice, and I'm trying to think of someone who, like, I don't know, like Dolly Parton, who doesn't have like the most beautiful voice, but she has awesome music and is an awesome person and is a great performer. You know, you want to watch her perform. But I felt like my voice didn't quite match my look, and I know a lot of actors struggle with that. But I felt like I never really understood myself or where I fit into, I don't know, to certain plot lines. And when I did, you know, not your professors, they don't always see it, you know, and so I felt like if my professor said that I probably wouldn't be good in that role, then, you know, they know what's best, and I didn't even really give myself a chance to try. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about putting too much of ourselves in our occupations. And that is exactly what I did. If I don't know, had a bad class, then I felt like I wasn't talented. If I had a bad show or just wasn't in it, I felt like I couldn't do this. And acting just, it messed with my physical and mental health so much. It made me doubt myself and always feel like I had to change, like I had to be someone different, to do something better. And yeah, so I ended up quitting because it just screwed with the way that I thought about myself so much. When I decided to do that, I didn't really talk to anyone about it. Like I never even said it out loud. And I felt like that at school. There was a lot of times at school where I was like, I don't know. I don't know if this is for me. I don't know if this is what I want to do. Like, I don't feel fulfilled doing this. But, you know, I had already been in the program for a few years at that point. And I just felt like if I quit or left, then I was failing. And that's just not the case. But we put so much pressure on ourselves to be our occupation. And if we're not successful at our occupation, we're not successful, period. We're not worth anything. And it's really hard, especially when you're in a creative field, I think, to separate those two. It's important to recognize that you are not your occupation. And, you know, being fired from a job or not taking a job or switching careers doesn't make you weak. It doesn't mean that you couldn't handle it. It doesn't mean that you wouldn't be successful at it. You know, I mean, there's a million reasons that somebody leaves something or changes careers, or, I mean, people get fired, but it doesn't mean that they're bad at what they were doing. So, you know, I think that that is just something to think about. And I am by no means 100% separated from my occupation. You know, now I'm a personal trainer, and the vibe is very different than it is in acting. There's not really the same level of competition, I would say. And you kind of work for yourself. So it the whole setup is just completely different. So for me, it's much better for my mental health. I'm doing something that I love, and it's really great connecting with people. I really, really love training, and I love my clients. And now I just started this like online fitness program, and it's the same thing. I feel very fulfilled doing it. And yeah, sometimes I feel down on myself about it because, I don't know, I get like imposter syndrome, or I feel like it's not successful enough, so I'm not successful enough. And that's just not how it works, especially with anything new, anything creative. I don't know. I don't really know how to, I don't know the answer. But all I know is that, number one, you are not your career. You are not your occupation. You are you. You do your occupation. You do this thing, and that's awesome. But it's not you, you know? And I think we put a lot of pressure on that, a lot of stress on that. And I think the next thing that's really important to remember is that it's okay to step away from things that make you feel like shit. It's okay. And it doesn't mean that you're a quitter or, I don't know, or anything like that. It just means that you're protecting yourself and you're putting up boundaries and that you respect yourself enough to step away from that. I do think that like maybe our parents' generation, they don't really understand that as much. I know they may have a harder time connecting with that. And it's something that I feel like millennials, Gen Z talks about a lot, is just Marie Kondoing your life. You know, if it doesn't spark joy, get rid of it. And I just kind of wish that I had noticed that sooner. I mean, I got so many amazing things out of going to school for acting. I met some of my best friends. I met my boyfriend, and I don't regret a second of it. But I do wish that I hadn't felt so scared to talk about how I was feeling, to step away earlier, anything like that. Because I left a lot of rehearsals and classes upset, and I felt like I was in this hole that I couldn't get out of, but I had such an easy way out, and it really would have been okay. But I just felt like I couldn't do it. So I did, and it was okay. In fact, it was awesome. And I feel much better about myself, my mental health for sure, and my physical health for sure. This is the healthiest I've ever been, and I'm definitely, you know, still dealing with some things. Obviously, that is literally what the podcast is about. I'm still dealing with some things, and that's okay. I mean, we're human and that's going to happen, but yeah, I do wish that I wasn't as scared. But I think everything happens for a reason, and it was a big lesson to me that I learned a year or two later, but still a very good lesson. Today, I want to leave you with a question. You can either journal about it if you journal, or, you know, just take a few minutes to think about it. But the big question I have for you today is, who are you without your career? I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the soon-to-be-named podcast. Join me next week. We'll have another one of these coming out. I'm trying to do these weekly. Make sure you're subscribed and maybe leave a review if you're feeling so inclined. And I will see you guys next week.